The National Broadcasting Company presents The School for Husbands by Molière, which met with success on Broadway when freely adapted by Arthur Gitterman and Lawrence Langner. We invite you to be our guest again at a great play and witness their modern version of the famous French comedy, which was produced for the first time June 24, 1661. The Palais Royal Theater, where the afternoon performance was presented, was the gathering place of pleasure-loving Parisians who filled the pit, the stage, the boxes and balconies to pay tribute to their favorite actor and author, Molière. The Palais Royal Theater, where the School for Husbands was presented, was located in the right wing of the Palais Cardinal, which Cardinal Richelieu built for himself. The pit, as usual, always presented a scene of varied activity. Since the performances seldom started at the appointed hour of 2 o'clock, the gallants passed away the time by fencing and playing at cards and dice. Fashionable people from the court and diplomatic circles were in evidence at each play by Molière, for the king openly showed his favor for the actor-author by presenting him with the theater. Prominent men paid high fees for seats upon the stage and in the 2 rows of stage boxes. Preceding the performance, young girls did a thriving business selling oranges, nuts, and drinks to the patrons. The orchestra was located at the back of the theater and played a lengthy program before each performance. One of the high spots of interest, just before the start of the play, was the lowering of the great chandeliers for the lighting of the candles. As they were pulled up into place, the audience applauded the colorful episode. At the premiere of The School for Husbands, Molière played the leading part of Sganarelle and read the prologue to the play. He wore the conventional costume of knee breeches, a tight-fitting coat, with a short cape hanging from his shoulders. The moment he entered the stage with his cap in his hands, he was greeted by an ovation. His sad face, like a melancholy mask, brightened, and it became a fascinating study of various expressions as he bowed to his admirers in the theater and began to speak the prologue to The School for Husbands. Today, in our modern version, the prologue sets the scene and acts the leading part of Sganarelle. The play begins.
Kind friends, we fear you fear to see upon the stage a solemn play in this impatient age. Yet if solemnity is what you're afraid of, that isn't what this offering is made of. A pleasant street in Paris shall you see, with houses placed where houses ought to be. There, while you watch the subtle plot unfold, with guardians grim and lovers blithe and bold, your ear shall hear, we trust with satisfaction, some tuneful ballad suited to the action. For in this day, when first our play is done, to be precise in 1661, pure drama would place too great a strain upon the weary, overburdened brain. Since first our play will please the better sort, the 14th Louis and his brilliant court, I, Molière, the author, having full control, in my own drama, take the leading role. Playwright and actor-manager as well, I shrewdly cast myself a Sganarelle, and give myself the best of scene and line. I wrote it so, since his part is mine. And I'm no prologue, just a humble forward. Yet, as I leave you, let me speak one more word. Or take from me, and then I'm on my way. Forward as forward. Please enjoy our play.
Hello, Lisette.
Oh, you
Gregor. How strange.
What strange?
To see you working for a change.
Why, you're just out to get a breath of air. Where are you going?
That is my affair.
If it's a secret.
Nosy. I'm going to bring my Mistress Leonor her sewing. She's visiting her sister Isabel, poor thing, who lives in there with Scannerell. But Scannerell has gone to see his brother Alice. And while they talk with one another, the sisters too can have a quiet chat. And so can I. Is that enough of that?
Yes. When you've told me where you'll be tonight, I'd like to see you.
Possibly you might. We're going, that is Mrs. Leonor, her guardian Aris, and several more.
Uh-huh.
To see the Dauphin's birthday fete.
Good. Slip away. I'll meet you at the gate.
All right, I'll try. But don't you come too late. Oh, when you kiss, please remember this. Marriage is your bill, sir, and you'll pay it. Oh, scat. Here comes the master and his mean old brother. You go in Valer's house. I'll go to the other.
Listen, brother. Scannerell, listen, pray.
Brother Aris, you talk too much. May I suggest that every man should live as he thinks best?
But others don't. Your narrow point of view is blamed by everyone.
By fools like you.
Well, thanks for the compliment.
No thanks, Aris. Whatever. I'll even let you tell me what these clever, self-righteous people say about me.
Well, if you don't mind.
But I? Go on and tell.
Well, they all express the wish that you were humbler. Condemn the thing that makes you such a grumbler. That gives you ways that everybody loathes and makes you wear such queer, outlandish clothes.
That's it. I'm not in fashion. Tell these railers I dress to please myself and not their tailors. It is your esteemed opinion, I suppose, that I should deck myself like our young beaux, in silly hats that leave weak brains exposed, that I should strut along, my legs enclosed in ruffled breeches, though my man's size feet squeezed into tiny shoes, and all complete with frills and furbelows, to take my airing, arrayed in what the well-dressed man is wearing.
If all the rest are fools, be slightly foolish. Instead of singularly wise and mulish.
Well, spend your age in liking or in loathing. But I will stick to my own style of clothing. Mm. Good day. I'll be on my way.
Good day. I'll have no more to say.
Isabel, there's no one in the square. Let's walk a little in a summer air.
Sister Leonor, I hardly dare to go.
Well, there's nothing wrong in walking with your sister. Come along, don't worry. If Scannerell scolds, I'll take the blame.
Locked up he keeps you. What a burning shame.
Hey, Isabel. Where are you going?
Well, we don't just know, but it's such lovely weather, I thought we might go out a while together.
Leonor and Lisette, go where you like. You two with all the gadabouts. But as for you, Isabel... How often must I tell you, here you stay?
Oh, Scannerell, let them go. God's lambs will play.
Your servant, Brother Aris.
Youth, you know.
That youth is foolish, and that age is too.
With Leonor, you know she's quite secure.
Perhaps. But when Isabel stays with me, I'm sure.
I guard her sister Leonor quite as well, I trust.
For heaven's sake, let each do as he must. These girls are orphans. In his dying hour, their father, long our friend, with all their dower, entrusted them to us. And in his will gave us the duty which we must fulfill to marry them ourselves or give their hands to whom we choose. But we, meanwhile, our commands they must obey, as they and I know well. Your ward is Leonor. Mine, Isabel. Guard yours as you think best, sagacious brother. And kindly give me leave to rule the other.
It seems to me
you let your ward be gay and primp and gad about and have her way and idle as you will. Well, much I care. And flirt with these young sparks. That's your affair. But I intend to make my ward defer to that which seems to me, if not to her. She shall not leave my doorway unattended to talk with gallants. For the flesh is weak.
Yes, but...
It seems to me, I know whereof I speak. Since fortune destines her to be my wife, I do not mean to let her spoil my life.
You have no cause.
Be still. Isabel. How dared you stir one step from home unchaperoned?
But, sir, I came to see my sister. You object?
I do. Your inference is most correct. You spoil her for me, and I'm free to say that you'll oblige me if you keep away.
Well, then I'll speak frankly, too. You seek my sister's love, but all that you have done and coarsely said to her, I hope and trust, will make her turn from you in deep disgust.
The man's a Turk. He shuts his woman in.
Well, there never was a woman, Lisette, worth the winning, who needed locks to hinder her from sinning. These vile precautions utterly disgust us.
The only way to hold us is to trust us.
A woman wants affection and contentment.
Compulsion stirs her anger and resentment.
Remember how you felt when you were 20?
We all need liberty.
And you take plenty.
To Leonor, my ward, I gladly give the right to live unchained, as youth should live.
Oh, why should I mope at home? To me, it looks as though the world could teach one more than books.
So help me, Gad, she talks like maids and cooks.
While 'twas her father's will, as you have said, that if and when I chose, we two should wed. Since she might be my daughter by adoption, I don't intend to exercise my option.
You mean, Aris, that I shall marry whom I will?
Yes, I'll not play the haughty tyrant. Still, if what I have, or am, or seem, can make her forget the age you mock, I'll gladly take her. In any case, her choice shall be her own. I seek her happiness, and that alone.
You make me sick, you poor blind fool. Isabel, go in. You mustn't listen to such trull.
Oh, shame, the fool.
Brother, you take your guardianship for fair.
You think you know, but I think I know better.
Whatever Leonor wants to do, I'll let her.
You'll trust her? Sir, then what happens will amaze you. I'll be delighted when your wife betrays you.
Then may you laugh, old dupe. But I foresee the laugh will be on you. And not on me.
I pledge my word that if Aris marries me, no wife can be more true than I shall be. But if Sganarelle, and God forbid, I marry you, I would not be so sure what I might do. I'd never let his jealousy alarm me.
I'd keep him jealous of the whole French army.
Be still, you vixen.
Those who fear the nagging of women's tongues should never set them wagging.
As one brother to another, you have softening of the brain.
Have a little patience, brother. Youth deserves a lighter rein.
By some artifice or other, we will break the tyrant's chain.
You may laugh, but I know how affairs will go.
When the cat's away, how the mice will play.
I'll have my way, and she must obey.
By, but not to iron bars and railings. Remember that for minor faults and failings, good sense and kindness are the safest cures. I'll go now in my house. And I'm your humble servant.
I'm not yours.
Goodbye. Our manners out of place.
Goodbye. I'd rather see his back than see his face. I'll go into my house and keep my place.
Goodbye indeed. There go a well-matched pair. The man as mad as any old March hare. The girl's a pert coquette. True mates confound them. And what a household they will have around them. No. Isabel shan't see them anymore. They'd spoil her morals, he and Leonor. I'll ship her to the country, where the habits of good folks don't resemble those of rabbits. But here I'll have to guard her night and day. That time she pretty nearly slipped away. I'll see she doesn't try that anymore. I'll get a faithful man to guard the door. Another thing I'll do. I'll see a notary, too, and fix a day to marry her before we go away. Here comes the sandal, Sylvester and Valère. I'll be on my way, rather than meet them here.
Well, au revoir.
Adieu, Valère.
Goodbye, you rogues. You've stripped me bare. To 6 good louis d'or, goodbye.
Congratulations, then, Valère.
But why, Sylvester?
Your luck at cards is so harassing. Your luck in love must be surpassing.
My luck... love is quite as bad.
How so, my boy?
Confess, my lad. Poor Valère, he's in love again.
With number 6?
No, number 10.
Why don't you trot her out and show her?
How did you ever get to know her?
I've never met her. Wish I could.
And still you know that she is good.
This much I'll say. Isabel, my lovely girl, is locked in by a crusty churl.
But come with us, you lovelorn sinner. Perhaps we'll teach you how to win her.
Oh, better still to live without her.
No, leave me here to dream about her.
But will you quit your dreamy state in time to join us at the fete this evening at the Tuileries, fond lover?
Possibly, I'll see.
Come on, Lysander, we must choose our costumes. There's no time to lose. And shall we bring you one, Valère?
Oh, if you wish, I don't much care.
He doesn't care, for oh and ah, he dreams of sweetness, yes, Mama. Come hear the story of young Valère. His eyes were blue, his locks were fair. He rattled the dice, he sang trilla, till he fell in love with a yes, Mama.
A yes, Mama?
A yes, Mama.
He fell in love with a yes, Mama. Alas, poor lover. his lot was sad. A crusty jailer the lady had, a terrible giant who cried, "Aha, you keep away from my yes, mama."
My yes, mama?
My yes, mama.
You keep away from my yes, mama.
Deep in my heart, the truth lies hid. Sadly, I fear that no one knows it. Oh, how I wish that one man did. How but to him may I disclose it? How may I teach his eyes to see? How may I learn if he loves me? Tell, tell, Cupid, tell. Does he know I love him well?
What can a maiden say with sighs? What by her charm and sweet demeanor? What may she hint with downcast eyes? How can she know the man has seen her? Why must she be so good and meek? Why may she love and still not speak? Do, Cupid, do bear my message. I love you.
Sganarelle's coming. I'll close the window.
I'll remember Cupid's message even so. Our guest, come out of the house at once. There's Sganarelle.
I'm coming. His humor's bad, I can surely tell. What's here by my door, lackey? I see that nobody within goes out, and nobody without goes in.
Trust me, Your Honor. In stealth, I'll sit by your door and drink to your health.
Trust him if he drinks. Well, I must trust him with my honor.
Pish! Whom can I trust?
I'll sit here on the bench by the door. Take a pinch of snuff. Nothing more.
Your pardon, Monsieur Sganarelle. Perhaps we're indiscreet.
Perhaps.
But I've so long desired to meet a man of such exalted worth and station that I have presumed to make my salutation.
You have.
And let me add that I would treasure an opportunity to do your pleasure.
Pleasure?
For serving you would be no labor. I humbly render thanks that I'm your neighbor.
That's good.
Have you heard the latest out? The news that everybody talks about?
Not me.
Not him. I see you scorn this idle chatter for higher things. The things that really matter.
I do.
Shall you see the fete in preparation? Our Dauphin's splendid birthday celebration?
I might.
Your manners are sublime. How do you spend your time?
On my own business.
Rightly. But the mind demands some relaxation, don't you find?
I do exactly as I please.
Exceedingly well said. How wise to do the things that calm and ease us, and not what other people think should please us.
I'm busy.
Oh, yes, I know, but if I might, I'd love to call some not too distant night and sit with you a little after dinner.
Good day to you.
The old baboon. He's tough.
Cheer up. Valère, you'll tame him by and by, sir.
At guest, I'm furious and desperate.
But why, sir?
Because he locks her up. Won't let her see a soul in all the world, including me.
She doesn't know you love her?
I confess I do not know. I dare not try to guess.
I'm sure we'll find a way as quick as winking.
Yes. Let's go in and do some heavy thinking.
Wait. Yonder is her sister's maid, Lisette. A saucy jade. We haven't tried her yet.
Well, then ask her help at once.
Well, I don't mind a pretty girl, flirtatiously inclined.
Ah, what a friend you are. Go forth, brave martyr.
I go.
I'll go in my place and pray that you don't catch a tartar.
Lisette! Lisette! Lisette, my mama said. Come out of our east house.
Who's that?
Who do you think? Come out, my pet. Come out, my dove, my swan, my duck, my starling.
But this is no birdhouse.
Then come out, my darling.
Now that I'm in the street, what's all this noise about?
Important business.
Darling, you're the worst, and only business.
Oh, well, business first.
Oh, stop. Now tell me what you want me for.
Well, pet, it's this. My master, young Valère, adores your lady's sister over there. But how is he to meet her? He and I thought maybe you could help us.
I'll try, but it's quite hopeless. I'd love to help him.
Could your mistress ask her sister here?
And then your master, too.
That's it, my dear.
Perhaps to go to see...
Yes, that's the cue. The Dauphin's fate.
I'll see what I can do.
You can do anything.
You think so? Why?
You can with me.
Well, I can say goodbye.
How cruel you are. Why must you slip away?
Your business, that is done. Why should I stay?
You ought to know.
I ought to, yes.
What need I say?
How can I guess?
I love you.
Truly?
None but you.
He knows what to do.
I know what to do.
Qui fait pas dans la plaine, répète. sauces excès ou les verdoyers au mot ou la pepre sans chêne. Patia pure, vivement si réfléchit le tableau qu'enrichit l'image. Mais tandis que l'on admire cet endroit le ciel s'admire, avec qui vient peignir face. D'un souffle profond notre éclat de joie de changer sa face. C'est toi qui s'étend dans la plaine, répète aux faisons des eaux, les verdoyers du mot où la pâtre s'enchaîne. Assez pur, un azur sans nuage, vivement si réfléchi, le tableau s'enrichit d'image.
I know the house, Isabel. I'll recognize the man from your description. That's it, over there across the street. Valère's his name, they told you, sweet?
Yes, but take good care, for goodness sake.
Don't fret. I'll manage this young rake.
He's left the room. I must confess the game I'm playing may appear to be too brazen for a nice young girl like me. But here's my chance. How can I let it go? Good people who have seen me bullied so, I beg your pity. Don't refuse it, please. As for my stratagem, excuse it, please.
Come, lackey. Step out into the street. I'll lock the door. Tis necessary, I repeat. There's his house, and the lair is coming out. Who? What? Can it be? The lout! It is the very man. So, now I know why he was so polite an hour ago. One moment. Monsieur Valère, you're the man I'm looking for.
Delighted.
I want a word with you.
Indeed. Well, come inside.
I prefer the street.
But the noise.
I hear well.
Will you sit down?
I'll stand. I'm quite at ease.
As a gentleman, you're difficult to please.
You know that I am the guardian of a rather pretty girl named Isabel, who lives nearby.
Yes.
And do you know that since her dying father willed it so, that I shall give the word when she marries me?
No, that's too bad.
What's that?
Too bad her father died.
Oh. And so you'll kindly cease your vain pursuit and leave the girl in peace.
What? My pursuit?
Come, sir. Don't deny it. Drop this pretense. You're gaining nothing by it.
Who said I loved her?
Someone whom I trust.
But who, I ought to know?
Well, if you must, 'twas she herself.
What, she? She knew.
'Twas she who said it. I trust, sir, you'll be good enough to credit my word no less than hers. The girl is well bred.
I'm glad to hear that.
And not to be misled. Her heart's affection is mine alone. In fact, I can't deny, she says that I am the apple of her eye. And that is all I have to say. Goodbye.
What do you make of that? Nothing to distress or trouble me. That message was not sent to kill my love.
You think the true intent
was not to make me deem all hope forbidden? There's something hidden.
The fox is watching. Let us go inside where he can't spy upon us. I'll unlock the door and step inside and tell all that's happened to my pride. Isabel! Isabel!
Canarel, now the front door is unlocking. I'm scared to death you'll hear my poor heart knocking. The message that I sent might leave my lover blind to what I meant, so I must send, through by my jailer's hand, another that he cannot understand.
Well, here I am.
What happened? Tell me, quick.
Your message made our hero pretty sick.
Astonished, was he?
Stricken to the core. I guess he won't annoy us anymore.
I'm sure he will.
You are? But how, my dear?
Because he still sent this letter. Look here.
A letter?
You'd hardly gone. Along the street there came a lad who gave me greeting in the name of this Valera. The impudent young chap abruptly threw the letter in my lap and ran away as fast as he could pack before I had a chance to throw it back. A billet doux, you see.
The man's devoid of decency.
I'm terribly annoyed.
What knavery!
I really should return the thing at once to show him how I spurn his vile advances. But I dare not ask.
Why not? I'll gladly undertake the task.
Remove the fellow's letter from my sight.
But first, let's see what he has dared to write.
Don't break the seal.
Why not, indeed?
The man would think I'd opened it to read the nonsense in his horrid billet doux.
Oh, and maybe that you'd like to read it, too.
No, to send it back to him without delay unopened would be much the better way.
To show contempt and scorn.
Of course. And then he won't try any tricks like that again. But if you feel you ought to read the letter, why open it?
No, no. Your plan is better. I'll take the thing. I have a call to pay beyond his house.
You leave it on your way? Oh, you are so kind.
Then I'll come back at once. To ease your mind.
You can't come soon enough. Goodbye. I'll lock the door and walk across the way and have it out in a moment's stay.
Mamma dita massa con soco da neve et plaisir et pour moi. Je suis tous les jours dans une peine extrême et la vie me fait.
One must be extremely careful bringing up a wife or maid. Train her to be meek and prayerful. Fit her for a useful life. Teach her to be fond of sewing. Keep her under lock and key. That's the only way of knowing she is where she ought to be. Here, fellow. Give this to your master, Valer. Show him that the seal is unbroken. Tell him my ward is very angry and has not read it. And he is not to send you or any other rogue delivering letters to her.
Your pardon, master, but neither I nor any other rogue delivered this letter.
Don't lie. Give it to your master. And now, good day.
Master, master, Scannerell was here. He handed me this letter. He says it came to Isabel from you.
From me?
Quite so. She's very angry, too, and sent it back, unread, by way of showing resentment, sir.
Well, well. I implore your aid. Yet not alone because of my distress. Your acts have shown your love for me. And as your heart may tell, if you love me, I can love you as well. I trust your faith. Contrive that we shall meet. Since I am guarded and must use deceit, I may speak strangely. But you'll know the way to guess what I intend from what I say.
Well, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Whoever would think so young a girl could be so clever?
And how adorable she is. How charming. Her mind so clear, her candor so disarming.
But look, here comes Lisette. Perhaps it is fortunate we've met. Your pardon, sir. The lady's maid, Lisette.
My master, Monsieur Aris, has begged Monsieur Scannerell to come tonight with Mistress Isabel and go with us to see the Dauphin's fate. He says, and hopes he does not ask too late, that you and your companions are invited to wait upon the lady.
I'm delighted. We'll come. And give your master, if you will, 1,000 thanks from me.
And give him still 10,000 more from me. Now off you run.
Hello, here comes old Scannerell. A curse. With a second lackey to watch the first.
This is your post. Sit by the door. Your duty. Is that clear?
It is, Your Honor.
Good. And look who's here. My fair-haired dandy. Monsieur Valère, now I think you'll be less lavish with your pen and ink. You have your letter back. I hope it pains you to gather that the lady so disdains you.
For me to strive with you for Isabel is plainly folly, though I love her well.
That's folly also.
Further add that no distress can make my soul forget her loveliness. And though the planets fall and heaven furl, I'll never...
Never?
...love another girl. And I shall woo her till my dying day. Or would, did not your merits bar my way.
Quite right. I own your feelings, do you credit. I'll speak your message, as your lips have said it, to Isabel.
I thank you from my heart.
And let me counsel you before we part.
Yes, yes?
To drive this longing from your brain and save you any further pain. Farewell. Isabel! Isabel! Come here to me. I'm sorry that it chanced to be his evil fate to vie in love with me. Isabel! Isabel!
Yes. Yes, tell me what was said.
There never was a lover so astounded, so desperate, so utterly confounded to see his letter coming back unread.
He plans to steal and marry me by force. An honorable love, that is, of course.
What's that? Abduction?
Yes, I just found out. That's what your man of honor brags about.
You found out? How?
The fellow servant came and told me secretly.
There, my pet. I'll settle him at once.
But don't forget, be stern with him.
I'll spoil his plots. He'll find himself too late to run away with you as he intended. I'll marry you before the week is ended.
Before?
You'd like it sooner, wouldn't you?
Why, a week will do. A week will do.
Did ever woman act more circumspectly? Why lock her up when I'll be back directly? And she is mine, and I can truly say that I have made her what she is today. Hey, Isabel, what's all this crazy dancing?
I love to see the dancing.
Yes, brother, she is safe with us.
Oh, you? I might have guessed. My brother and his crew. Stop it, Vixen. Up the deuce. Has the madhouse broken loose?
Come, brother. Join us at the Dauphin's stage.
Hurry, hurry. You'll be late.
But join us, you and Isabel.
Not I. Not she.
Oh, come. Why not?
Come, Isabel. Why should we longer hide our love? On Sunday, she will be my bride.
Sunday?
Then, your bride?
Yes. We marry Sunday.
No.
Then, just to celebrate, come, let her go to see the carnival, an hour or so.
No. Go into the house. There we'll have it out. No ward of mine will I permit to join in such a rout.
The time is early evening, and the moon is rising. Ergast enters from Valère's house.
And now, Ergast, I'll pass the ogre's barricade to speak with her. I'll try this man. Hello, you lackey. Where's your master?
I don't know.
You mean you didn't see him go? When will he be here?
I don't know.
Well, never mind. Your mistress, though, is home, I take it?
I don't know.
And perhaps a silver coin or so would help your memory.
I don't know.
You seem to take me for a foe, but I'm quite harmless.
I don't know.
Why can't you give a man a show? You don't distrust me.
I don't know.
We don't know.
Where ignorance is bliss, they've heard it said, 'tis folly to be wise.
No, master. On the contrary, where folly is bliss, 'tis wise to be ignorant.
A guest. Go to the fate. Here's money. Bring some of the mountebanks to dance and sing for my beloved.
Good sir, I go. Aha! A singer for a serenade.
The world is dark and lonely. My sun no longer beams. The night with all the stars away can give me only dreams. But through the weary hours, I know that love will have its own. How glad will be the dawning when you are mine alone.
Aha! There you are, my gallant suitor.
Yes, what's troubling you now?
Your foolishness. Enough of this pretense. I thought you had more sense. A gentleman of your condition, character, position, planning to carry off my ward.
Who told you such a fairy tale?
Denials are of no avail. Was Isabel herself told me.
She told you? Then
she says you plan her forcible abduction. I warn you, if you dare, it will cause a ruction. She says you're well aware of how she feels, in whom her love is placed. And so she bids you haste to end at once a shameful situation, by which she suffers deep humiliation.
To end at once a shameful situation. Well, if this be true, of course I ought to quit the field, leaving her to you. If this be true...
If? You doubt me, then? Very well. You shall hear it from her own lips. Wait. Isabel? Isabel? Come out!
Wait. That man, you bring him here? And why? That he may plead his cause? You rate him high. Because you find his manner so disarming, you hope that I shall also find him charming.
Not so, my dear. Your heart is mine, I know. But this man simply will not have it so.
How can you doubt? Good words and looks reveal more clearly still the love and hate I feel.
Dear madam, what this gentleman advised me was your own message. Certainly surprised me.
I have a choice, if choice it can be named, between two suitors. Proud and unashamed, I own that one I honor and adore with all my heart. The other I abhor.
Yes, Isabel. The part I have to play is clear to me. I soon shall find a way to rid you of that one among those present whose every act and word is so unpleasant.
Do so. My hate for him is so intense, his very presence is a gross offense.
Now.
Do I offend by speaking so? Must I apologize?
Good gracious, no. And yet I'm sorry. It must be distressing to learn that one is so unprepossessing.
To speak less plainly now would be a crime.
I understand. You haven't long to wait. In 2 days' time, I shall so manage that your eyes shall rest no longer on this thing that you detest.
Good riddance, and goodbye.
Poor lad, she loves me. No one can efface me from her affection. So, farewell.
Goodbye.
Pitied. No, not he. Not he. But I'm as tired as can be, so let me sleep till morning.
Yes, my own. Sleep sweetly. The love that you have shown deserves reward. Why need we hesitate? Sunday is far too long for you to wait. I'll marry you tomorrow. There. Go in the house. Good night.
Good night.
Now, can I trust these men or can I not? For all I know, they're hatching out a plot to help him bear her off. What shall I do? I'll get a real good man to watch these two.
Tomorrow? Heaven help us, what a mess. I cannot reach Valère. He cannot guess my trouble. In 2 days he promised aid, but that will be too late, I'm much afraid. 2 days. That man will marry me in one. So I must do whatever can be done at once, tonight.
Harlequin and all, wait here. Master Valère, behold your player, sir.
I guess my only hope's to try tonight, and with a sturdy ladder aid her flight.
A ladder?
We'll bring one. Now, tell them to begin.
Here is your pay. Now earn it. This is your stage. Your audience, the maiden in Scannerell's window there. What will you sing?
A simple ballad tune.
The very thing.
Master, they build a master. You are the savior of my
people, maids and men, join the carnival again.
Now I must act, or else endure the fate of marrying this ogre, whom I hate. There is no time to plan. This night my only hope for safety lies in flight. In this brief note I must implore his aid. Oh, heaven help me should it be delayed. Or give me courage when the light grows dim to run away and trust my fate to him. Take this note. I'll throw it to you. Take it to your master. Pray, please do.
Master, master, look. A note for you, and better hurry.
Well, here's the howdy-do. Be quick. Take any means to set me free. Tomorrow he intends to marry me. My kerchief on the window bar will show that he's away from home, and you will know it's time to act. Then don't delay a minute.
Her kerchief's on the bar. I saw her pin it.
He's out. How cleverly the girl has reckoned.
Master, the ladder. Let's not lose a second.
Oh, dear. Suppose he tries. These men will see. I do believe that one must have a key. Oh, Flunky. Ooh.
Do you call, madam?
Yes, good fellow. Tell me, do you think you'd like a nice, cool glass of wine to drink?
Yes, madam. We drink.
I know. I'll put a sleeping powder in it. Good fellow, please excuse me for a minute.
Master. The old rogue has gone off again. The kerchief is still on the window bar.
We'll go now, at once.
Just a moment, sir. Let me step into the house.
Sir, what's that broom for?
A weapon, sir. We must be armed.
Armed?
With this, I can sweep on to victory. Now, let's put the ladder under the grated window. Look.
Good way! Quick, Bravo! Stop him! Oh, you rogue, you coward!
And where's our pay?
Your pay? I pay you for their victory when you ran away.
You'll pay us or we'll mince you fine and small.
Then take your money. You villains have no principles at all. I'll go tell Isabel of this vile antic. But no, it might delight her. She's romantic. Better not tell. Better say nothing more. Silence is golden. Now I'll watch my door. Here comes Isabel. Slipping out. I'll say nothing more.
The wine was drugged. Shabby trick to play. It served my purpose. There was no other way. From the lackey now I have the key, which will open doors and set me free. And now, farewell, my prison. Go, I must, to him I love, and in whose love I trust. The devil.
Who?
It's you, I said. Oh, heavens. You surprised me.
Surprised you? Doing what? Why are you here?
My sister, she... You saw her going out?
Yes, bound for that silly fate, as I recall.
What do you think? She didn't go at all. She's there, in our house.
Here? Why?
She came to beg my aid.
Your aid? For what?
A plot.
A plot? A jade. And you?
I couldn't. It would be a sin. Still, she insisted, so I shut her in.
But you are out. And why?
What could I do? My only hope was meeting you.
Now. But why should Leonore come here?
Can you believe those ears that hear me say she loves the wretch whom we have sent away?
Valeria?
She does, God knows by what attraction. Dressed up like me, she went to meet that rake beside his house across the street. Hide yourself. Don't let her see that you are watching. Better let her go without a word.
I promise. But when she is gone, I'll find my brother. With his well-known views of freedom, he'll be charmed to hear this news.
Oh, then you'll tell him?
Yes, beyond a doubt.
Well, when you tell him, please leave my name out. I'll go in and send her now. My dear, don't fret.
All right, I won't, my pet. Leonore's a wonder. How this news should tickle my dear old brother. What a pretty pickle he'll be in after all his noble preaching. To see this fine result of his fine teaching. Now, here she comes, well covered by the hood, trying to deceive the world, pretending to be good. Going straight to Valère's or disguised. Very well. I'd better lock her out away from Isabel. She runs to Valère's and knocks at his door. She stands in the shadows. I'll say nothing more.
Who's there?
Hush, it's Isabel. Valère!
You lie, Leonore, you minx. Have you no sense of shame to take Isabel's clothes, her voice, her very name?
as if her honor were not worth a pin, and she's so good at home and well locked in.
But you must marry me, or even now.
That is my dearest wish, and it needs no vow to make it stronger. Be my guest until tomorrow, then my wife.
Perhaps she will. Yet, marry them to one another. Make two fools one. I'll get my doting brother to bless their union. Charming sentence.
I'll brave your tyrant. He can give consent of our espousal. But he shall not tear my treasure from me.
Treasure? I can bear to see him keep Leonore with all her charms. I wouldn't take that baggage from your arms. Another plan of yours shall not miscarry. A plan you may repent, your plan to marry. Still, for her father's sake, we'll have to handle the thing discreetly to avoid a scandal. We'll pounce upon them both and give our beau the wedding that he swore he wanted so. I'll go at once for notary and magistrate, who'll marry them before it is too late.
How sweet the moonlight is.
Château des amours de Jeanne, rien n'est plus charmant que Jeanne, rien plus aimable que Jeanne. Jeanne et ma Jeanne, Jeanne et ma Jeanne, Jeanne et ma Jeanne, Jeanne et ma Jeanne, Jeanne.
Now, magistrate and notary, here is the house.
Scannerell, your corpus mentis seems a trifle hazy. I was to marry you, or am I crazy?
I wed tomorrow.
Well, then what means this?
I need your services.
Well, what is it? What is it?
To use your magisterial authority upon two persons, one in her minority, in Belair's house. Surprise them both with me and marry them.
Another marriage? I see.
The man? Belair.
The girl?
A ward of family connection.
Most opportune. My notary will help.
Your notary?
A royal notary.
Your servant. And the law's most humble votary.
A man of honor.
That's beyond a doubt. Stand over there. Watch well. Let no one out. You shall be well rewarded for your trouble. Let no one tempt you. I will pay you double.
You hint that one connected with the law would take a bribe?
Oh, never. Do not draw that false conclusion. I am all contrition. All magistrates are far above suspicion.
We men of honor understand each other. We'll keep good watch.
I'll go and fetch my brother. We need his signature to make it lawful. I'll give that antique turtle dove a crawl.
Belair, open in the name of the law.
In the name of the law.
Who is it? A magistrate and notary.
Oh, Isabel. These men have come to wed us.
Why, you've thought of everything.
Not I.
You realize that since her father's dead, unless her guardians wish it, she can't wed.
Please draw the papers. Have no fear. I'll gain their signature. You come in here. Come inside, Fair Isabel. There may be trouble. Who can tell?
Brother, why bring me here?
Great news, grand news. The finest of the year. Where's your Leonore?
Why, the fate, you saw her pass your door.
The fate your Leonore attends, old dunce, is at Belair's. Huh? I saw her, none but her, enter his house. And there she stays, good sir.
Oh, stop jesting.
Look, the magistrate and notary are here to marry them.
Coercion, gentlemen, is not required. Their marriage, which is all you have desired, and what you still desire, is it not?
Yes.
May be performed upon the spot. Both parties wish it, nothing need prevent.
The girl?
She chooses to stay within, and stubbornly refuses to show herself for fear of some miscarriage. Until your signatures confirm their marriage. But look, here comes her fair Valère.
I heard your plans, you talk so loud, so I avowed you shall not enter here before you sign. I trust I make that clear?
Yes, Valère, we both agree that you shall be the husband, fond and true, of her who now is in the house with you.
Yes, so the contract reads. You all concur?
Yes, yes.
This space is vacant. You three will sign, and then the modest lady shall here insert her name. No more formality is needed to ensure complete legality.
I'm willing.
So am I, and so are you. Ariste, sign first. The honor is your due.
Mm.
And sign, and so will I.
All right, I'll sign, but still I don't see why.
Have patience.
We'll rejoin you in a moment.
I'll now reveal the little joker in it.
These conceited puppies. How I hate their talk. They fairly drove me from the feast.
I thought, Lenore, they did their best to be delightful.
So thus the matter stands. So we've joined Lenore's and Valère's loving hearts and hands. Wait! There's the hussy with her saucy maid, coming around the house as if a trick she's played.
I'm not angry, Lenore, and yet I own my grief.
But why?
Well, the heart I left so free you gave away without one word to me.
My heart is where it was. I have not altered. My deep regard for you has never faltered. I would not give you any cause for sorrow, and if you wish, I'll marry you tomorrow.
Canarelle, what means this tale that you've been telling?
Lenore, you just now left Belair's dwelling. Did you not put your hand to him right here? Have you not loved him for at least a year?
What silly talk. I've just come from the fate. Take back those yarns before it is too late. Why, who's been weaving such a web of lies? There come Isabel and Valère with magistrate and notary to seal their marriage ties.
Your pardon, sister. I misused your name in desperation. Mine is all the blame. To quit my prison and Scannarelle my jailer, too. I had to make him think that I was you.
What? What?
You take it calmly, brother. Now, that is best. Be reconciled. And laugh with all the rest.
I'm shocked. I'm stunned at Jezebel. How dare she treat me so, and after all my care? I'll go within my house and stay, and not come out for many a day.
Oh, well, come, ladies. Come, Ereste. Come to my house. We'll hold a wedding feast. Come all.
Leonore, perhaps you'll marry, too.
Of course I'm willing, Ereste, if it pleases you.
Lisette, that makes two weddings. And if you agree, we'll add another.
I'll marry you, Egar. All good things are free, so why not?
Why not?
Tomorrow I'll engage some way to find a way to soothe my brother's rage.
And when he's tamed, if any ladies present have lovers who are equally unpleasant or husbands who are tigers, we beseech them to send their tyrants to our school. We'll teach them.
I've been listening to The School for Husbands, a comedy by Molière. The radio adaptation was made by Blevins Davis. The production was directed by James Church. The cast in this afternoon's performance was as follows. Ergast, Neil O'Malley. Lisette, Madeline Hooley. Ereste, Earl Larimore. Valère, William Swetland. Leonore, Irene Tedrow. Lysander, Valdemar Capel, Sylvester, Turney Walker, the lackeys, Tom Gorman and Stanley Waxman, the magistrate, James Van Dyke, Scannarelle, Charles Webster, and Isabel, Selina Royal. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, at this same hour, the National Broadcasting Company will present a radio version of Love for Love by William Congreve, a play with such scintillating wit that it made its author the toast of London society. Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, Carol Dice was our soprano in this afternoon's performance. Vladimir Brenner was at the piano, and our violinist was Max Kahn. Jack Costello speaking. This was an educational feature presented by the National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York.